Can you believe it? It's that time of the week when we join a certain Sean Defoe, who, to quote Aerosmith, Steve Tyler never wants to miss a thing. How you doing, Sean?
I don't know. I think there's some things I could miss. There's some bits of news that I have to listen to on a weekly basis that I, leaders questions to the door, maybe. I think I could miss that.
Indeed, yes. You could rethink on that introduction right enough. Well, now, speaking of not missing a thing, everybody's at some stage seen the movie Armageddon. Don't tell me you're one of the few people who've never seen Armageddon.
I'm not, but I only saw it for the first time during the pandemic. So I was a late comer. Yeah, it was one of these things, like the long list of movies that I'd never seen that I only probably saw because of the pandemic and got to do a full watch through of. So, but highly recommend to anybody.
Educated, Jim. Why we mentioned that is there's a bit of a NASA connection in all of this.
Yeah, the headlines kind of was funny from an Irish point of view because it said NASA smashes dart into asteroid, and then you were just thinking, why are they smashing trains into asteroids? You know, the Dublin area rapid transit is getting an
indeed
awful doing.
Yeah. Yeah, from an Irish perspective. But anyways.
But this is a real-life Armageddon. This is really cool. So they have what they've managed to do is launch basically a probe, a satellite from Earth, in order to try and divert an asteroid off of its course. This is sort of an early test, if you like, of a defence mechanism should any giant asteroid ever find itself on a collision course with Earth. Now, this one wasn't, thankfully, but they decided to test it out anyway and to sort of smash this one off. And you sort of think, like, the technology and the accuracy needed to do this is absolutely astounding because, you know, it's like flying a dart at an object many millions and millions and millions of miles away. How could you possibly get the timing right? But they actually did it, and they've got a great video of the last few seconds of this satellite before it absolutely smashed into this asteroid. So now 160 meters wide is how it big. So that's your target. Like, think about that for a second. Yeah. Launching from Earth over thousands and thousands and thousands of kilometers at a 160 meter wide object. That's pretty impressive.
I would have thought so. Considering what they launched from Earth, apparently they describe it as the size of a vending machine spacecraft.
Yeah, and they were only 17 meters off the exact center. Wow. Like, that's pretty good. That sort of a distance, that's pretty good going.
Absolutely.
And the whole point of it, obviously, is to try and knock this thing off course so that they can knock any future one off course. And they still have to do a bit of testing and a bit of a monitoring of it over the next while to see if that has been successful. But it seems
it worked.
That yes, we have a defense mechanism if the worst were to come to worst. So,
I can sleep so much better. I'm going to play a little bit, Sean, of Ralph Semmel. Now, Ralph Semmel is the kind of go-between NASA and APL, the company that was responsible for building this vending machine-sized spacecraft. Now, I will say he's probably a guy that you don't want to be caught in a party in the kitchen with for an extended period of time, but have a little listen here.
For the first time, humanity has demonstrated the ability to autonomously target and alter the orbit of a celestial object. The impact of DART into the asteroid Dimorphos was confirmed at 7:14 p.m. Eastern Time when the DART Mission Operations Center here at APL lost signal with the spacecraft. Now, normally, losing signal from a spacecraft is a very bad thing. But in this case, it was the ideal outcome.
Yeah, you see what I mean?
This is the thing, like, you're as you say, you're launching like a 19 meter object, which is what, a couple of fridges or a few people tall, at something that's less than the height of the Eiffel Tower. It was really astonishing to see that it actually got there. And it was going at 220,000 kilometers an hour. You think how fast these things have to go.
By golly. Buckle your seatbelts, right enough. Well, now, talk about buckling your seatbelts. Bono has a new memoir out, and it's called Surrender, 40 Songs, One Story. First off, I have to say, I like the title.
It's a long title. It's wordy.
Hey, it's Bono.
40 songs, one story. You know, it's not like the way you see all the sports people, it's usually one word, or it's like my journey or my challenge or my whatever it is. It's wordy, but it's there. I definitely don't see.
He wasn't thinking T-shirt, Sean. You know what
No, he was. It's a very artsy, actually. It is a very sort of artist sort of a title for something like this, isn't it? And I'd see definitely that he is going to get no abuse for this book whatsoever. And that people are not totally fed up with Bono. It's funny, I just find it very funny how the attitude of Bono within Ireland is so different to the attitude of him on the international world stage. And I think that's a title set for the international stage as well. You know, there's an excerpt of it from 2 days ago in the New Yorker, if people want to hear. And it's actually quite an emotional excerpt because it's when he's talking about the death of his mother when they were children. So it's an interesting one, but you can, even in the amount of times in the first six paragraphs that he mentions that he's Irish, sort of going, this is one meant for the bestseller list in the US. This is.
He played Pharaoh in Andrew Lloyd Webber's musical Joseph when he was only about 12, I think it was, or 13. And it was the first time his mother had seen him sing, which was kind of, you know, endearing when you think that the poor woman was dead by the time he was 14. But he played the part of the Pharaoh, which, you know, is kind of an Elvis impersonator, as he describes it. So I did. He said he dressed up in one of my mother's white trouser suits with some silvery sequins glued on. I curled my lip and brought the house down. Oh.
It's funny. They say that you can tell what someone is going to be or do in later life by the role that they had when they were in a nativity play when they were children, or in those sort of plays. Like, it just bats out. For me, I was the narrator, so that part, just stuck through, you know, the dartboard. So it's absolutely there, and you can see it with Bono. Yeah, that the performer was always there waiting to come out.
I tell you. Now, lastly, your explainer podcast. What are we on this week? What are we doing?
Yes, it was slightly late because of the budget, which took up a lot of my time earlier on in the week, as you can imagine. So I've actually just recorded it. It's not yet released, so you're going to get a little preview on Double Doors. This week, we're looking over to the total and absolute mess that is the UK economy, and wondering how in the name of God, because it's one of those things that I think a lot of people, particularly with our budget, are sort of going, oh, right, the pound has collapsed and they're doing something mad over there. What's going on?
Yeah.
So took a bit of a look into that and to see what they're doing that is so absolutely bonkersly mad that it has even government officials here saying, Jesus, we don't feel so bad about anything now because looking over the water, we're a rock of stability. So it's going to be out tomorrow morning. Let Me Explain is the name of the podcast. Let Me Explain with Sean Defoe. You find it on my social medias or all reputable and disreputable podcasts.
Absolutely. Just type in Sean Defoe. You can't miss it. He's in there. And
can't get away from you, unfortunately, for a lot of people.
Now, I have to say, I've enjoyed the little explainers. What I like about them too is they're not too long. You literally explain any subject within 10 minutes, tops.
That's
almost.
That's it. 10, 15. That's what we aim to do, because you get all these podcasts that are hours long, and there's a place for that. There are some that I love listening to that are hours long, but we decided, you know what, this is for if you're heading into work, you got 15 minutes, you're going down to the shop or whatever, and you're like, that thing going on in the news, or you need to chat to that that awkward uncle who's going to ask you loads of questions, or know what you're saying when you go down to the pub with a little tidbit or two. So, you know, that's
bite size, I do believe, is the word, Sean. Bite size, we like
that's
it.
The word.
Yeah, like Twitter Thursday. Speaking of which, time to bid you adieu, but thank you so much for joining us, Sean. Have a great rest of the week, my man.
You too, Ollie. God bless. Mind yourself. Bye.
Bye-bye.